Rockwood Drive in Eden, North Carolina, 27288. My telephone number is 623-7787, area code 336. Bob, you want to give your name?
My name is Robert A. Harris. I live at 420 Greenway Drive, Eden. Telephone number is 627-7855, area code 336.
And Bob, where were you born?
I was born in Warren County, North Carolina, in 1918.
August 9th, 1918, okay. And you were reared there?
Reared there.
Okay. And you went to high school and so forth?
High school in Warrenton, and went 2 years to Campbell Junior College at that time.
Uh-huh.
Then transferred to Carolina, where I graduated, Carolina.
And you graduated from Carolina prior to entering the service then?
I graduated from Carolina in 1939.
And what was your major, just out of curiosity?
I majored in Business Administration and Accounting.
Okay. And, okay, you graduated in 39. When did you actually enter the service?
I entered service in March, April 42, I forgot who it was.
Okay.
But I went to Birmingham, Alabama, and worked as a management trainee with the U.S. Steel for 3 years. I had a high draft number. They wanted to keep me. They could have gotten me deferred. Mm-hmm. But I went out and took an exam for FBI and accounting. I was going to the FBI. They informed me that they closed out accounting, but they gave me a law exam, which I hadn't had much law. But I took the law exam and went on down and volunteered for the Navy, same day.
Oh, you're being tested for the FBI, but you joined the Navy the same day?
Yeah, I figured I'd
be drafted.
No way I could pass the law exam.
Yeah, okay.
But I actually passed it.
Oh, you did pass it. How about it?
But I volunteered for the Navy.
So you volunteered for the Navy in early 42, then?
I volunteered in fall of 41.
Fall of 41. Oh, was this before the war? Before December 7th, then?
Right after December 7th.
Okay, so it'd be December, sometime
from
in December.
They didn't call me up until March, April of 42.
So you heard about Pearl Harbor. And then immediately?
Soon after you volunteered.
Soon after you volunteered for the Navy. Oh. And when you volunteered for the Navy, what were you volunteering for? Officer Candidate School? Or?
I signed up with Officer Candidate School. And they first sent me to Notre Dame University, where they had a...
So you joined the Navy, they called you up, and then they give you a train ticket to Notre Dame then? Is that the idea?
Mm-hmm. That was first contact I had with the Navy. They just sent me a train ticket to Notre Dame.
Go to Notre Dame.
Yeah.
Go to Notre Dame.
And so I was up there a month, basic training.
So let's back up just a second, Bob, and go back to how you joined the service. Where did you go when you actually joined?
I went to the post office in Birmingham, Alabama, and they had a recruiting officer, a sign-up officer. That's where I signed up.
Now, were you destined to be an officer at that point, or did you just sign up for the Navy, or what?
No, I signed up specifically for this V-7 training program.
Okay. Sign up V7 training program. Okay, that's interesting.
The next contact I had with Navy was a relative peer at Notre Dame. That was the first actual.
With your ticket, I guess.
Yeah.
And so forth. Okay, gotcha. So you knew you were going in the V7 program and would be an officer if you completed that successfully. Okay, and you were about 23, I guess, at the time when you entered that service. Why did you go in the Navy? As opposed to Army, Air Force, whatever? Air Corps?
Well, I just preferred the Navy.
Just a personal preference?
Personal preference, yeah. They don't like to walk that much.
I've heard a lot of people over the Navy say that same thing. They like the food.
Yep.
Okay. So you went to Notre Dame. What did you do at Notre Dame? What was your training like there?
I was just basic training, drilling.
As if you were a recruit, basically?
Drilling. athletics, got all our shots, everything there.
How long were you there, approximately?
A month.
And then where'd you go?
And they always on a train, and they sent us to New York to, the first night we spent on the old battleship in New York. I believe New York, which is anchored there in the harbor, as a train ship. And the next day they shipped a bunch of us up to Columbia University. And that's where we got our basic, got the rest of our training was at Columbia University.
They trained you in, Navy traditions, specifics of gunnery and all this business?
All this stuff, navigation, gunnery, seamanship, the whole.
How long a process was that?
That was 3 months.
3 months there, okay.
And 3 months later we were in peace.
And how intensive was that training? How, what was your day like there?
It was pretty full, but it wasn't that bad though, it wasn't. We lived in the old dormitory. Accommodations were good. Only thing, trouble I had, we were on about the fifth floor with no elevator. They called for a formation, you had to hurry. But it was a reasonable schedule. The only real discomfort I ever got into was what they call Army Navy Day back then. They put us on a barge and took us down to put us the river on 6th Avenue and paraded us hiring all day long.
Was this for civilians? I mean, you're praying down the street so the civilians could see you and whatever?
I had blisters come on top of blisters.
you came out of a business background, so how did that, how did you fit into this kind of technical area? Did you feel like it was pretty difficult, or did you
kind of difficult.
Slip right into it, huh?
Slip right into it. Some of it I may have had to work a little harder than the others. Well, it wasn't there, but it was mine warfare school. When we took engineering, which I never had a thing on engineering.
This is after Columbia, right?
I came out top of the class with all the engineers.
No kidding.
Everybody else.
So, how about it? When you left Columbia, did you know what you were going to be doing then, or did you volunteer for anything?
When I left Columbia, I knew what I was going to do. They sent me to, the first assignment was down to St. Petersburg, Florida. There were 7-8 of us. Well, not 7-8 officers, but 7-8 people. We were assigned to set up a incoming ship identification station out on an island, which we did. And I was out of there about a month. Then I got orders to go to Key West to the USS Mystic, which I didn't know what heck it was. Found out it was a 57-foot converted yacht with a crew of two officers, Captain Massett, about 5 of the crew. And our duty was to patrol between Key West and Cuba. Kind of.
Watch for submarines or?
Watch for submarines.
Yeah.
And we had all of a 30 caliber machine gun.
That's all you had?
All we had.
Good gravy.
But you know what orders were?
What?
Catch one rabbit. That was the boat rabbit.
Of course, that would sink your ship too,
sure.
Right?
Oh, sure, yeah.
Catch it and ram it. And wear your life preserver.
Yeah.
That's what he was.
But that was our assignment.
That was your assignment.
Yeah.
Now, how long were you on that duty?
Oh, 2 or 3 months, I think.
2 or 3 months aboard the USS Mystic, kind of converted yacht.
Mm-hmm.
How about it? Did you run into any?
No.
Not run into, but did you find any submarines?
No.
Ever?
We detected a lot of merchant ships coming through. We would check over them, but
Did you, when you say you detected merchant ship, did you have to go aboard the merchant ship? Were they identified, or were you not sure of their identity?
We wanted to board some of them, not all of them.
Okay. And then you got further orders, I take it, from that, from there?
Let's see if I got time. My next assignment was also in Key West.
Was what?
In Key West.
Also in Key West.
Yeah, with the, sound submarine and submarine warfare.
Okay.
Taking, primarily learning how to read signals with, from the,
Sonar?
Sonar equipment. And I was there about a month or so. One interesting fellow I had there, his classmate was, you ever hear of Eddie Duchin?
Oh, yeah, sure. He was, piano player.
He was a classmate. Was
yeah.
A friend there.
No kidding, Eddie yeah. Duchin. How about it? He was an officer like you going
yeah,
through this?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
How about it?
He didn't have trouble. He could detect anything.
Yeah, I guess his audio system yeah. Worked pretty well, huh?
But he was a classmate.
That's an awesome.
Actually, Saturday nights, we used to go up, several of us go up to them. Well, the hotel at the, I guess it was Truman Farm.
Came to the Little White House?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I've been there.
And he played piano.
Is there, was he already a, kind of a star at that time? Or
oh, yeah, yeah.
He was already pretty well known.
Oh, yeah, he was.
I didn't know whether it was before or after that period.
Yeah.
But he was already well known.
Then I was transferred from that to, another interesting thing happened there. We went down in one of the old World War I submarines one day, which was, I saw it starts to like a modern Model T compared to present submarine, but it wasn't even modern T.
Wasn't even up to that standard.
Yeah, matter of fact, one went down in. Disappeared about a month later. They'll find it.
No kidding.
Yeah.
So what was the reason for doing that? Was this training for training, sonar training?
Yeah. Sonar training.
And when you were aboard the submarine, what were you, did you actually set at the oscilloscope or whatever it is that they?
Well, no. They were trying to show us how they evaded. What evasion factor. Tactics,
trying to look at it from the enemy standpoint.
Yeah.
In other words, how do you evade? Is that the idea?
That's right.
Okay, and so you could understand your enemy that much better, I guess. Huh?
Yeah.
Okay. So did you have much spare time there, or was it all pretty much work? You know, all day long.
We had a lot of good spare time. It wasn't we didn't have anything at night. It was all during the day.
Yeah.
Very easy.
And so did you go into, and this is a Key West, right? Okay, did you go into Key West and meet Ernest Hemingway or anything?
Didn't meet him, no.
Was he living down there at that time?
I don't even know. I didn't know who Ernest Hemingway was.
Yeah, because he's got a big presence down there.
Yeah, yeah.
At Key West. So you enjoyed Key West, I guess. I know probably tough duty during the day, but did you feel like you had an enjoyable time? And, whatever spare time you
got. It was very, very nice.
Just out of curiosity, what did you do in Key? This is wartime conditions. What was available in Key West? Was it just kind of like
bar
business as usual down there?
Yeah, a lot of bars open.
No big scares or anything.
Of Key West was nowhere close to what it is today. It was just a small. Community. Yeah.
Did they have any lights out laws or regulations?
Yeah, everything blacked out.
So everything blacked out. So what could you do? No, you couldn't see much.
Didn't do an awful lot. Didn't do an awful
so the, you, there was no lights.
No.
I guess. So. Okay. Okay. How long? And you were there. You say
about a month.
About a month, and then where'd you go from there, Bob?
And then I went from there to Beaumont, Texas, to Commission of Minesweeper.
Commission of Minesweeper.
Mm-hmm.
Had you already been trained in the function of a minesweeper?
Not at that time, no.
You're still kind of green so far?
I got that later.
Okay, so we went to Beaumont, and this is a ship just being built?
Mm-hmm.
And what was the name or number?
It was USS Pioneer, number 105. The odd thing about it, George Ziegler just brought me a history of Pioneer yesterday.
Yeah, he said he was going to do that. So tell me a little bit about the Pioneer, the length, the beam, the, you know, what was it like?
It was 220 feet long. I've forgotten the beam, I think about 32 feet.
Uh-huh. So about two-thirds the size of a destroyer, would you say? Something like that?
Yeah. Had a crew of, I believe we had about 100 on it.
And you were the skipper of that?
No. The lieutenant commander was skipper.
Okay. And what was your rank then? You still ensign?
Ensign, oh yeah.
Still ensign, okay. And what was your duty aboard the minesweeper?
Well, I stood watch to stand watch on the deck.
I mean, like, were you gunnery officer? Were you
I was
engineering officer?
No, I was a commissary officer.
Officer, there's a good job.
I made sure we had plenty to eat, and we did. Yeah.
So you were in the kind of the supply end of it then at that particular time, right? I was a supply officer myself, relate to that.
And
okay.
We came out from, I was there, I guess, a couple of months before we sailed.
What were your duties while the ship was being built and so forth? Were you kind of?
Well, we had a long checklist of things that had to be done.
Uh-huh.
You know, kind of checking up on that. Not an awful lot. We were doing some training on getting organized.
Now, when did you get into your minesweeping training at that time?
Later. Mine was later.
Yeah.
Because, see, this was a minesweeper.
Yeah.
Although they never did any minesweeping, maybe until the end of the war. We went to New Orleans, going up to Norfolk, and started doing convoy duty to Casablanca and back.
Okay, so after you commissioned your USS Pioneer, then you went to Norfolk?
Mm-hmm.
Around to Norfolk, and then started convoy duty?
Yeah, to Africa and back.
Okay, and how many convoys, and what time frame was this now? Was this 43 then?
Must be 43, yeah.
At the end of 43, okay. Now, how was the submarine menace at that time? Was it pretty well under control, or was
it? No, it wasn't under control. They were losing a lot of. It was about time they put small aircraft characters.
That was a big help, I know. Yeah.
On convoy.
Yeah.
So we know we took. We would carry 100 ships over time. And. But we never lost a ship.
Now tell me about your convoy. Now you had 100 ships. What would you say that? How far apart were the vessels when they were in convoy? Would you say?
Well, they weren't too far apart because no lights. They had to keep
visual contact.
Visual contact.
Night and day visual contact, but no lights at all, huh?
Well,
that had to be pretty tough to see if you had a dark and stormy night, huh?
Oh, it was.
It was very tough.
And sometimes they get all disorganized.
Did they ever crash into each other?
No, we never had a crash into one another.
Now, where was your minesweeper stationed in the convoy? Where were you?
We were stationed on the outer
perimeter.
Yeah.
Outer perimeter. You and your ship and several other minesweepers? Or?
Yeah, there was, I forgot how many. There'd be several.
Now, were you actually doing minesweeping duties at that time, or just?
We didn't do anything. We were just doing convoy. If they got out of line, we'd round them up, get them back in line.
Oh, you're kind of like the guard dogs out there, huh? Keeping everybody, trying to keep things under control.
And it happened. The first trip we went on, every time they had a submarine alert up ahead of us, we'd have to turn.
You turn and do what?
Go away from the direction of the submarine alert.
and turning 100 ship convoy.
Oh, you're saying the submarine lurks ahead, so the whole convoy would have to turn away from wherever that...
It was.
Who gave you the submarine alert? Where did it come from? Who, another ship out there or way ahead or what?
The aircraft carriers were out there.
Out of way ahead?
Yeah.
The Jeep carriers?
Yeah.
Oh, so the Jeep carriers were not within the ring of the...
No, no, no.
They were out there on front line.
We didn't even know they were there.
Is that right? They were that far ahead?
We never saw them.
Oh, okay.
So one time we went to...
That sounds pretty dangerous for those Jeep carriers. Looks like they'd be very vulnerable to a submarine attack.
Well, they were, but they had a convoy of destroyers with them.
Okay, so they had destroyers around.
Oh, yeah.
Them. Okay. And so they were kind of running interference, you might say, for the main convoy. Mm-hmm. Is that right, would you say?
And the first trip we wound up below the equator before we ever turned back towards Africa.
You mean you had that many submarines carried? You just kept going south and south? Well, I mean, it's all well and good to turn, but it looks like the submarines could turn too. And I mean, what good did it do really to turn?
Well, if they were here and you turned this way, they couldn't catch up with you.
Oh, I see. You were so much faster than the subs. That's the idea?
If they stayed in the water. Yeah.
If they stayed in, but if they went up the surface, they could catch you.
Probably could have.
Yeah, but they were on the surface, then they were vulnerable to the Jeep carriers and everybody else. So,
yeah.
So that was your saving grace. You had a higher speed than the subs underwater, so you could actually get away from
them. Yeah,
I see. Okay, well, that's educational to me. I tried to figure out how that would work.
I have one interesting experience on, I guess, the second trip we took. You know, they commissioned a lot of people right off. Somebody come along and had a good record, they'd make them lieutenant, junior grade lieutenant, full lieutenant. Some of them made lieutenant commander. Now, I never get started. Her name was Roberts. Came on board. He was a full lieutenant. I don't know what his background was. But anyway, he came up on the bridge one night back when my watch started, about midnight. Dark as blazes, got up there. He said, "Well, I'll take over. I'm in charge." Never, he didn't know what that. I said, "Well, you may be, but the captain hadn't told me you were in charge." He said, "I'd rank you." I said, "Just the same, I'm going to stay in charge and you call the captain. And the captain tells me that you're in charge." He didn't speak to me that whole trip.
Well, what did the captain say?
He said, "Hell no."
Was this guy trying to con the, was he trying to con the ship and everything?
Well.
He'd be officer of the deck or what?
Yeah.
Oh, for heaven's sake. He had no training, basically.
No training.
Good grief. Tell me a little bit more about your Pioneer. What kind of armament did it have on it, Bob? And did it have torpedoes? Did it have anything?
As I remember, we had more of the death charges and 50 cal machine guns.
But no, like 5-inch guns?
No, we had I don't think we had anything other than 3-inch guns.
3-inch guns. Huh?
No, it wasn't. It wasn't.
Man of war.
Man of war, but it's a stretch of imagination.
Yeah. You're basically a minesweeper.
That's what they were designed for.
Yeah,
but
right.
And when we got the invasions, they used them for that in a lot of cases.
Yeah. I want to talk about this at some point, so let's might as well do it now. Tell me about minesweeping from the first alert to the time you bring in your caravans or whatever else you got. What happened? The captain says, "Okay, we're going to sweep mines." Okay, I know you didn't do it on this, but let's just talk about the duties of a minesweeper and what actually happened with the lines just spread out in the caravans and whatever else you used, and how you kept from ramming into a mine yourself while you were minesweeping.
Well, to answer your first question, you didn't if it's in shallow water.
You what?
You didn't if you were the lead ship.
In a shallow mine, then you had no protection. If you're in the second ship, you went behind the sweeping of the first ship. It's like plowing a field.
So the first minesweeper had no protection. You were just bait, basically. Now, you had watch guys out there, you had watchmen, but what could they see if they were underwater, if the mines were underwater?
They might see a mine, but I don't know.
Be very lucky to see it.
Yeah.
And he'd be the first one blown up to if he had one, right? It's a pretty dangerous job.
Well, let's jump way ahead. We were the first ship went in there. Now, this is on the YMCA.
Yeah.
YMCA. We were the first ship went into the Sasebo Harbor Channel. And our message was, proceed through the channel to check for shallow mines. That's what.
If you hit one, you knew you found one, right?
He found one. That's the only day I never had any trouble getting life jackets on everybody.
Okay, well, let's continue now. What does a minesweeper do? What does a minesweeper do?
Well, depends on what you. Well, most mines.
When you're sweeping mines, I'm talking about.
On the different kinds of mines, on the what people normally consider mine is the old thing with antennas and moved to the bottom.
With the sharp points on it.
Yeah, which call it contact mine.
Uh-huh.
We put our paravanes out which.
What's a paravane?
Well, the paravane was attached to a steel rod, and when you put it out, it pulled out to the side, like you, and that was a.
So it'd go out how many yards from the ship? 100 yards or
more than that?
300
Yeah. And
that, on both sides, sides of the ship.
Yeah.
So you'd cut a swath then, 600 yards wide. Would you say?
No, it wouldn't be that wide. I forgot it would. It wouldn't be. And normally you didn't do both sides. You do one.
Oh, you only put paravanes out on one side?
Normally, when you sweep.
Now, why would you do it on both sides?
Well, it's so hard to maneuver with it.
Oh, okay.
And that pull, and on that wire were cutters.
Yeah.
And you got a mine that moved the bottom, that theoretically would hit that cutter, and that cutter would cut loose.
The cutter, what was it? A stationary piece of metal attached to that cable? That was sharp.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. How sharp was it?
I mean,
it was. I mean, you're talking about cutting a cable. It had to be extremely sharp,
yeah, it
right?
It was. Yeah.
And was it effective in cutting cables? I mean, did it?
It cut some. Yeah.
And what happened if it didn't cut it? Could you tell it?
You'd drag them along.
And could you tell the way the paravane acted out there that you had a mine?
Yeah.
And would it slow down the ship? The ship would. I guess
it would
be tugged by that, wouldn't it?
Yeah, I don't. I never had one to drag like that.
Oh, so the cable always was cut in your experience?
Yeah.
Huh? Okay, so the mine comes up then. What happens then?
Normally you shoot it with a rifle, sink it.
You shoot it with a rifle, and would that explode it normally?
Sure.
Okay. And you were talking about contact mines now primarily, huh?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay, so the contact mines and the paravanes and the cable cut loose the cable. Now, how long was this cable attached to the mine? How deep did it go?
Well, it all depends on the water.
So would it actually go to the
bottom?
Right?
Oh yeah.
So what was the maximum depth that you could effectively use mines then? Would you say? How long a cable could you?
I wouldn't think over 70-80 feet.
Okay, so basically they're shallow water in harbors primarily. Would you say is that where mines usually were? Like,
yeah,
they would mine wherever the ship. They knew the ships were going. That's where the mines.
That's where the mines were. Yeah.
Okay. Okay, so you had the contact mines. What other kind of mines were there?
Well, they were acoustic mines.
Did they look the same?
Don't know. They were different because they never came to the surface.
Oh, they didn't come to the surface.
What you did, they had a big thing went over the bow of a ship with a big hammer in it.
Big
hammer.
Hammer.
Operated electrically.
And okay. That, oh, I see.
That,
The noise would set up.
As fast as it could go.
Oh, and it would, you hoped to set off the mines long before you ever got to them?
Yeah.
Now, how did you know to use the hammer? Did you, what made you, or did you use it all the time?
We used it all the time.
Okay, so when you were mine sweeping, you used the hammer as well as the parabens all the time, huh? So you were set to set off the acoustic mines or the contact mines?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and you say,
And you had electric mines.
Okay, let's tell us, what about those?
We had, two big cables, not that big, that we pay out back of the ship. And I had a big generator.
Attached to this long cable?
It would connect you to it.
Okay.
To send alternating electrical.
Through this cable?
Through this cable.
That you trailed through the ship?
Through the water.
Through the water, huh?
And that was supposed to get done.
Now, the alternator was aboard the ship, right?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And then you set this electric charge through the, this long, cable into the water. And how long did that trail behind the ship, just out of curiosity? I mean.
That's a couple hundred yards.
Couple hundred yards, okay. Now, that's, of course, behind the ship. Of course, you've already gone over the mine if you've, what happened? Seems to me like if you're trailing it out the back,
Well, see, that's reading. That's we reading the YMSs were wooden.
Oh,
we had a very, very low magnetic field.
Oh, okay. So your minesweeper was a wooden minesweeper. Now, if you were a destroyer minesweeper, then.
Well, we jumped way ahead. The AMS we did combat deal with was a steel ship.
Right.
But the minesweeper that I had command of was a wooden ship.
It was a wooden ship. Okay. So they were made of my wood just for that reason, huh?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So the one that you were on, the Pioneer, then, trailing this cable was kind of. I mean, if you passed over the mine, it's going to explode anyway, isn't it?
Yeah, but the Pioneer would be, by and large, sweeping in deeper water. So the magnetic mines sank to the bottom.
Oh, okay.
So the Pioneer would.
Okay, so minesweepers, they use the. The metal hull winds minesweepers in deeper water, is that the idea? And then the wooden minesweepers would be in shallower water, primarily because of the electric mines.
Yeah.
Huh? Okay, that's very educational. Very, very interesting. Okay, that tells me a lot about minesweeping. It sounds to me like you said you were bait. That's what you were.
Oh, yeah.
Because if you hit a mine, I mean, you just had the little. The lookouts out there, and that's it.
That's it, yeah.
And if they didn't see it, and you hit the mine, bingo, you're gone. You're gone. Did you have any, on any of your convoys, any, I guess in your convoys, there weren't mines out in the middle of the ocean,
no,
basically?
Not in that part of the world. There were when you go in China Sea, though.
How can you have a mine in real deep water? How do they do that?
Well, you can't. What happens in. Well, sometimes they come back. You've had so many of them put out. They come loose and drift. They drift for 1 mile.
Okay, they drift, okay.
See, that's what happened in China Sea.
Okay.
There were mines all over China Sea.
And they pop to the surface and just drift.
Drift up off.
Now, those at least were on the surface, though, right? So you could. See them, maybe.
You could see them, but
hard to see.
So. Our instructions were to go at maximum speed.
Yeah.
Which push them away.
Oh, okay.
The bow wave would push them away.
Well, the bow wave would push them away. So, of course, maximum speed, you burned a lot of fuel. You couldn't do that all the time, either.
No.
But that's only when you feel like there was a mine threat.
Right, yeah.
Okay, well, anyway, let's continue on then with your convoys. We had a little education on mines. So you did convoy duty for how long, would you say?
Well, I took two trips to Africa and back. They were about 2 to 3 months each trip. We took 22 days to go each way, I think it was, to.
So there were convoys going both directions? I mean, the ships went over full and came back empty, basically, or did they have stuff to bring back too?
They had stuff to bring back too. We went to Casablanca, that's the only two I went to.
So you went in the Mediterranean, so you went by Gibraltar. Was that particularly dangerous from mines?
Well, Casablanca, you didn't go by Gibraltar.
Oh, that's on the other side?
Casablanca down the coast.
Oh, okay.
We did go Gibraltar. I don't know why we went up there. We were there one night, remember. But we didn't go any further into the Mediterranean.
I see.
I think we took a ship up there. Let's go to a ship up to Gibraltar. There one night.
So you took two convoy tours then, and then were you transferred at that point?
That time I was transferred to mine warfare school.
So this is when you really went to school on mines?
I went to school on mines, New York.
And that was in New York?
Yeah, no, Yorktown, Virginia.
Oh, Yorktown, Virginia, okay. Oh, yeah, that's right, because that's where the the Navy mine.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's right.
I never will forget. We got into Gibraltar one night, just about dark. Anyway, Sarwell just almost ran into town.
Is it Gibraltar, you said?
Yeah. Gonna get a cold beer. And asked for a cold beer. He looked at us like it's crazy. And had anything but hot beer.
No ice.
No ice, no.
No way to make ice, I guess.
Well, that's the way they drink it. They don't.
Oh, they like it.
They know that's right. The Europeans don't put ice in beer, free-rate beer. They didn't do it. No, I went to non-warfare school in Yorktown, Virginia. Maybe 2 or 3 months. And that's where we really learned it.
Let me digress a second now. When you were in the service now, did they have the, you had your Navy dress blues that you had to wear, I guess, for most of your, then what, did they have the khakis or the grays at that time?
Grays.
You wore the Navy grays as the summer uniform, is that it? Mm-hmm. They didn't have the khakis, I guess, till after World War II, as I recollect.
Yeah.
So you wore the grays, okay. Now, when you were, for example, in at the Navy mine school, what did you wear to class? Did they have you?
I don't remember.
Did you have to dress up every day to go to class?
I don't think so, but
don't recall.
I don't recall. Okay. Actually, we didn't. I had one dress suit, some and one. But keep in mind, a minesweeper is very informal.
Yeah.
We didn't wear a uniform.
What did you wear, chambrays?
Yeah, we wore the gray trousers. And put on a uniform once in a year once.
What did you wear, just your shirt with no tie? And was it? Yeah, okay. Did you have anything, of course, a shirt, even the board of minesweeper, might be a little formal, I guess.
Well, it was. That's what I thought.
Did you just wear a T-shirt? I mean, what did you wear then?
A lot of times, just didn't wear anything over you.
Oh, okay.
I got some pictures in that show. Yeah.
Okay, so you just didn't wear, you just got a suntan, right? Okay.
I got a good suntan.
And so you couldn't tell really the officers, I guess, from the crew, the way you were dressed.
Well, he may wear a cap.
Well, I guess with your blue pants, I guess you
your
blues, I guess, or grays, I mean.
But I went to mine warfare school, and then I went to submarine warfare school.
Okay, and where was that?
That was at Key West.
Okay, so you went from one right to the other then?
Uh-huh.
Okay.
Then I went up and commissioned the YMS.
So far as the mine warfare school, is there anything beyond what we've already talked about on mines that would be of interest to hear that you can think of, so far as being around them, handling them, or whatever? Did you lay mines too? Did your minesweeper lay any mines?
No.
You weren't a mine layer,
right?
Anything else?
Well, it was of interest, but we're talking about electrical wires. Those things are set, they can be set so 10 ships can go over it. Nothing happens. Next one blows up.
Yeah.
And we had to learn a lot about the sequencing and all that kind of thing.
How do you deal with the sequencing?
It's almost impossible.
I mean, you just...
Take it for that. Well, it determines sometimes how many times you go over an area. All yeah. going everywhere.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. How about anti-submarine school? Anything you can tell me there that you know, might just be of interest to hear about, what you learned there? Any tricks of the trade or that they taught you that, to watch for particularly? Or
no,
tricks that the submarines tried to evade detection?
I think I got them out of sequence. I think that's the one I told you about, Eddie Duchin was there.
Oh.
That was out of a submarine.
Yeah.
No. Just you. Mostly we were studying how to identify sound.
Okay. And each submarine has a signature, just like a fingerprint?
No, each submarine, it probably due to modern sonar, but back then you just had basic comp sonar. You could identify that it was a submarine. You're supposed to tell how fast it was going. How well it's coming to you or going away from you.
Yeah.
Or so on. And then we learned all the maneuvers to try to, how you'd set your course to hit one of them up a certain distance.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, we said a lot about
how to intercept the submarine, yeah. In other words.
We studied a lot about depth charges and how to set them and how to use them.
How many depth charges would a mine layer have on it?
Minesweeper.
Or minesweeper, rather.
Oh, some different things. Some of them would have 20, 25.
So that's really not that very many, though, if you're...
Well, I said minesweeper, that bigger ship.
Of course, a destroyer would have more.
Yeah.
Mine Street would have 20 or 25.
I think we had YMCF. YMF. We even had about 12.
End of tape A, side 1. The interview continues on tape A, side 2.
Okay, so you had about 12 aboard your YMF, huh? Okay, so let's carry on from there then. After your anti-submarine school, and you...
No, I went to Orange, Texas, where this YMF had been built. And I was there a couple months before we finally completed and took it down the river.
Okay, made out of wood. What kind of wood was it? You don't have any idea? You make it out of oak or wood? Oak, they make a minesweeper out of
oak.
Uh-huh. And can you tell me kind of the dimension? This is smaller than the Pioneer.
Oh, yeah. It was 136 feet long.
136 feet. Mm-hmm. And a beam of what? 18?
20.
And what was the crew on that?
30.
And you were the skipper, and mm-hmm. Did you have how many other officers were there?
Three other officers.
And what were their duties? One
was an engineer, the one was supposed to be a navigator, another one deck officer.
Okay, so there was four total. Okay. And then you had about 26 crewmen then.
Uh-huh.
Okay. Okay, so this ship was commissioned then. You were going through your checkoff list, I guess, when ship was being built and all this. And it was commissioned about what time frame would this be then? Approximately. This be in 44 then, or maybe?
Yeah, I think it's spring of 44.
Spring of 44, okay.
Because we went from Orange, Texas. Around the coast up to Boston, we stayed there. We stopped off at Little Creek, Virginia for a shakedown at the inspection. Uh-huh. And then they turned us loose and we went up through the canal to Boston. And we were supposed to be in Boston. We were supposed to be in that next winter. We were sweeping Boston Harbor.
Oh, okay.
We had a triangle. We were out, come back in, came back, keep going.
And what was the routine? Now, did it take your day to do that?
Every day.
You did it every day, basically? Or?
Basically, every day we do.
So you're doing mine sweeping every day, Boston Harbor?
Yeah.
Because Boston was a big hotbed of naval activity up there, right? So there were a lot of ships coming in and out.
Yeah.
Now, did you ever, have any detection of any mines then in the harbor?
Well, we didn't have detection in mine. We did some mine sweeping. The Navy had planted some experimental mines right off Cape Cod, and we swept those up. Never seen so many free fish in my life. And I said, "Frank, can you blow up a big?"
Oh, you blew up the mine. You swept it and then blew it up, or what?
These were electrical mines.
Okay.
We blew them up in the shallow water. Of course, they kill all the fish mines.
Now you blew up. Did you do it by the generator and the and the trailing cable?
Yep. Mm-hmm.
And that was effective.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Oh yeah.
Okay. You blew up a lot of fish along with it.
Sure did.
Once,
two or three times, we stopped in the Provincetown overnight. We just barely could get in that harbor. Churn up mud going in.
Ah, so shallow. Huh?
Yeah, but we stopped there two or three nights.
Oh. Huh.
But somewhere in the early fall, I think it was.
About 44 now?
44, yeah. I don't know whether you probably don't remember, they had a big storm off the east coast. And they detached two minesweepers to go from Boston and go out to the Iwo Jima invasion. One of my friend of mine was a commander. They got off of Cape Hatteras, hit the storm, and never found them.
Okay. Sunk a lot of trace, huh? Your minesweeper.
Two of them.
Oh, two of them.
So they detached us to go and replace them.
So they were going to go to you say Eagle? And so instead of them, then your minesweeper was detached to,
yeah,
as one of two, I guess. Huh?
So we left Boston in the fall, I think, and went on down through the canal up east coast, west coast.
Yeah.
San Diego, from San Diego to Honolulu.
Now, when you went from San Diego to Honolulu, were you with other vessels?
Yeah, we were in a convoy.
You were in a convoy at that time.
But from till we got there, we were on our own.
At what point were you on your own?
From Boston to
San Diego?
Yeah, except Panama. We went in at night, dark, pitching, and went alongside another minesweeper, tied up. And that stepped this fellow I'd been to school with. He was commanding officer of that
other minesweeper.
So he and I ganged up. We went up to San Diego together, and in fact, we stayed together quite pretty much the rest of the war.
Is that right? Both minesweepers had the same duty, huh?
Mm-hmm.
So, okay, then you we're in San Diego, and then we're in a convoy all the way to Pearl Harbor. Okay.
10 knots. And 10 knots.
Just to digress a minute on your wooden minesweeper. What kind of armament did you get? A couple of machine guns? What did you have on?
I had 30 cal machine gun. We had 3-inch gun.
You had a 3-inch gun on it.
Oh, mm-hmm. Okay, 3-inch.
3-inch gun and
30 cal. But I forgot I meant.
Couple, two or three, whatever.
Yeah. Two or three on each side.
And then you had the depth charges. You had about 12 depth charges. And you had your paravanes and all the other stuff that goes along with Sweden.
Yeah.
Now, okay, so you went to Pearl Harbor then. Mm-hmm. And it took how long to get across then? It must have been a long...
Good long time.
20 days or
10
whatever?
10 knots. How far is it?
Yeah, I guess you could multiply it out. It'd be a long way. Long time.
A good long time, yeah.
Yeah. Now, how did your ship handle in your ocean waters? I mean, geez, that's rough. I would say it's pretty rough. Especially as being part of a convoy, because you're fighting the wave action from all the other ships all the time.
Well, no, you wouldn't have a wave action from other ships. You wouldn't be that close.
Oh, you wouldn't be that close. But you just handling the normal wave action.
Yeah, but it was rough.
It was rough.
Yeah.
Did you ever get into any precarious situations going across there? Yeah, did you get any precarious situations going across on that particular cruise?
Not on that particular cruise, no.
Okay. So you got to Pearl Harbor. Did you stay there long? Or
yeah, we were there. Oh, a month or more. We were doing training most of the time.
Did you do any minesweeping while you were at Pearl Harbor? Did you actually do any
No, after mine, we did practice.
Practice
minesweeping, yeah.
Okay.
Matter of fact, they sent us down to... We were down in Maui most of the good part of the time. Before Maui even started developing.
Yeah. Between Maui and Lanai there, that triangle?
Yeah, all that.
I've seen that. I've been there. That's great.
Yeah, it's beautiful.
Beautiful.
I remember we were there Thanksgiving Day and went up on the hill at high school playing a football game.
Is that right?
We all went to football game.
For heaven's sake.
Yeah.
This is at Maui? You did it?
Maui.
Yeah. How about it?
That's where I discharged my executive officer.
Later on. Or then?
Then.
What happened to you? Well, why'd you do that?
Well, I wasn't satisfied with him. I sent him. He got Panama. He got rolled. They brought him in back to the ship and just dumped him on the dock.
Drunk?
Yeah, drunk and rolled by women and everything else. I sent a bad report in on him.
Bad fitness report.
Yeah.
Yeah.
One night I said, I was going to get up and see where we were. And I got up, went up on deck. I said, well, you know, we're right here. I said, no, we're not. I said, I know better than that. We're not right here. We were lost. Well, I got back the next day. I told the base commander, I said, yeah, you can do what you want to with him, but he's not staying with me. So he took him off.
So you got a replacement?
Yeah, I got a replacement back later on. I don't win.
So you sailed a little short on officer compliment.
But he was going with me.
He's not. What was his background? Was he academy or?
No, he was a Navy man.
He was a regular?
Regular Navy. No promotion. And he stayed with the Navy men in officer.
So. Oh, okay. He's just incompetent to be. Executive officer, anyway. Yeah. How about it? Okay, so you were doing your training then in Maui and so forth. Then where did you go then?
Well, we left Honolulu. I forgot what day. Must have been late December because the invasion was February.
45.
Yeah. We left. Honolulu. That's funny thing. I don't know how many ships, one of the biggest convoys ever assembled went out of that. And they had the commanding officers up at the admiral's office. And we all got our orders, seal orders. Weren't supposed to show them to anybody, not even executive officers, till we were so many miles at sea. And we were riding in a Jeep going down this main street.
Now you knew what they said, right? Or you didn't know?
We knew what they said.
You knew what they said.
And the crowd on the street said, "Look out, you old Jimmy, here they come." And I couldn't tell my crew to next day.
So how do you do that? You're out at sea now. You already left Pearl Harbor. You're out at sea. How do you make that announcement? What did you do? Over the PA system or
just ship like ours, and 30 people just call them together.
Just call them together and just.
It was just like a big family.
Yeah. Okay.
With us, yeah.
Yeah. And so, what was the reaction when they heard that?
No.
Just another.
Well, we had one or two got a little upset. Just another trip.
So how, that was a long haul from Pearl Harbor to Iwo Jima.
Yeah, we
you had a steam.
We stopped at. I think we stopped at Inuituk. We stopped at Saipan. We spent several days at Saipan.
Mm-hmm.
Getting final outfit and so forth. That was, we spent several weeks or so at Saipan. I remember they put us on patrol duty, rescue duty for B-29s taking off from. We had to go out and patrol and take off on it.
Mm-hmm.
No rescue. One of them crashed. It was just a big ball of fire.
Bob, I know you got another meeting to go to. Let me digress just a split second here on your wooden minesweeper. What was your propulsion system? Did you have diesels? What did you have?
We had diesels.
And you have twin diesels?
Had 10 twin diesels. We had two twin GE.
Okay.
Diesels, and we had another same size that we used for generating for the mine sweep.
Oh, for the electric mines?
Oh, no kidding. We had three GE diesels.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Let me ask you one more question about your wooden vessel. Did you have any trouble with leakage on it? Was this a problem, or was it very good integrity in the?
We never had a problem with leakage.
No problem. Okay. Okay, I was just curious about that. Okay, let's continue on then. I think you went to Inuituk and.
Saipan. They were patrolling. I think we went down to Guam once or twice to pick up some. But then we all left. Saipan and convoy for Iwo Jima.
Okay.
And we arrived at D-4, which was invaded on the 19th. We got there the 15th, I believe, daylight.
Mm-hmm.
And we put all our minesweeping gear out and started in the shore, and they started shooting at us.
They started shooting at you.
Oh yeah. And,
what they did.
The fella who was.
So your duty at that time was to sweep the mines, leading up to the shore of where the attack was going to be, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, we swept all around the island.
Did you find any mines?
No.
No, good.
Didn't find any. Unit commander, lieutenant commander, he got scared. They say he was laying down on deck with his phone in his hand giving orders. But anyway, he ordered the formation to turn around.
What ship was this he was on?
I forgot which Wayne or Nesco.
Oh, one of the other minesweepers.
Yeah, we had Okay. I think 12 IMS.
So he was, of course, you guys were very vulnerable. You were right up there next to the...
And he gave orders to his ship to turn around and get out away from the beach. And they did. Of course, we had to just, I mean, they came right on top of us. We had to turn too, because our mind, he was all fouled up.
He got fouled up in your...
No, he didn't, but he could have.
Yeah, he could have, yeah.
I didn't hear it, but they said the Admiral. When he talked, the Admiral says, reform and proceed to the beach at any cost.
So did the other YMF do that then?
Yeah. We finally got back in formation.
Do you remember which Admiral it was that was on the duty then?
No, I don't know.
Just curious.
So we got back on, and oddly enough, we weren't shot at anymore. We were never shot at.
Was it because the big guns were kind of suppressing?
No, I think it was a matter of concealment. They didn't want to conceal location.
Okay. Were the big guns shooting at that time? Bombarding the North Carolina was there, I believe, was she not?
I think it was 15 battleships and cruisers.
Yeah, North Carolina was one.
They were flying almost point blank over.
Yeah. What did that do? Of course, the sound was quite a distance, I guess. Could you see the shells flying over?
Oh, yeah. Well, most of that firing was at Mount Sarabachi.
Mount Sarabachi.
We didn't get into that until later on in the day. But when we got there, it was all flying right over.
So how long were you in that situation there, or minesweeping there out there in the invasion area then?
Well, we swept past the mountain that morning, and we had a staging area. We went out that to recoup and get the, and then we swept the other side of the island that afternoon. That's the only minesweeping we did.
The only minesweeping you ever did on your...
No, the only minesweeping we did at
Iwo Jima.
Iwo Jima. Yeah. But the reason I said it didn't want to conceal a position is there was a group of 12 LCLs, LCLR rocket ships, came right in behind us. They sank them.
No kidding.
Mm-hmm. With the rockets. But we didn't get.
But they didn't bother you. But why do you figure there were no mines? They didn't have time to lay mines? Is it?
Well, the water, it was deep water there.
Too deep, really, for mines, huh?
I don't know why they didn't have mines there.
Of course, at that time, Japan was running out of a lot of resources. Yeah. I guess that may be part of it.
One interesting story, wasn't it? I told crew, I said, we had some beer on the ship.
Had some what?
Beer.
No beer.
And I told crew, I said, now y'all get sandwiches made up. When we pass that mountain tomorrow morning, get out of firing range, we're going to have a picnic.
You're going to have a picnic?
We did. I had sandwiches and beer. The other ship around looking there, looking at us like a... And I go crazy. Couldn't get some name for regulation.
Well, sure.
But they only had two beers apiece. It didn't hurt them, but they really enjoyed that.
I thought they did.
Yeah.
Okay, so this is D minus what then when you were doing
three.
This?
Three. Did you have a D minus four?
D minus four. Okay, so what did you do on minus three, minus two, minus one?
Well, I can't be precise. We went out first to a couple of nights. We went out, they'd take all the miscellaneous ships and take them out, a carrier would take us out so many miles, and then you'd bring them back in next morning. There's so many ships milling around, it was you didn't know what was going on. 500-600 ships.
Oh, yeah.
Milling around. Yeah. But I think D-minus 2 and D-minus, well, D-Day, we had, one night we had smoke screen duty, laying smoke screens, which was, that was awful. You didn't know where you were.
Now, was your ship normally equipped to lay smoke screens?
We had smoke generators.
Okay.
Which is awful because we couldn't see.
Well, didn't it go up or did it kind of lay on the surface?
Lay on the surface, right.
Okay. And did you have to go back through it again, go one way and then go back through it again? And, and is that, what was it like going through the smoke screen?
It was right away.
I mean, was it choking?
No, we didn't have to go through it too much. But we had to zigzag around back. On D-Day, that night, we had, rescue duty. We were stationed out. We had one rescue.
What, down pilot or what?
No, it was a boat. It cranked out one of the boats it took passengers in.
LSTs, whatever?
No, wasn't even big as that. It was just a small.
An invasion barge of some kind?
Invasion barge, yeah. Okay. And we went alongside. There's three backboards in there. At that time, I had a little submachine gun. And I went down, and his eyes were that big. And they wanted to come aboard. I said, well, we'll take you aboard the next morning. So we did. We took them. They'd been up on the beach. And it got a little rough that night. I said, we'd rather be up on that beach on this thing. It was our time.
Now, these were what, three sailors, I take it? Or
three Marines.
Three Marines, okay.
Three back Marines.
When he saw that submachine gun, his eyes got big.
One of them, he told us, oh, it's true or not. They'd been up on the beach that morning and been driven back in.
Oh.
And,
so they were part of the invasion force.
Oh, yeah. One of them said he was down in standing water and some captain came by and said, why ain't you up on that beach? He said, I ain't up there, same reason you not up there. I don't know if I made that up or not, but he told me. He was telling the truth that night.
Same reason they're not there.
No, but after about 6-7 days, we got orders to go down to Stoke and get them. One thing about it, we didn't have to worry much about it. That was about time the Kamikazes
were coming up. No.
We didn't have to worry about them very much. They're too small. Our biggest worry was crossfire.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. We were caught. A battleship fired a plane wouldn't hesitate to fire right into you.
Yeah, right. But, you could. If a plane's coming in low, I mean, you could be in the distance and you could get hit by some accidental crossfire. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Did you ever get hit by a crossfire?
We never got hit. Oh, hey.
So after Iwo Jima, then you went to the Philippines, and that was, I guess, pretty tame after your Iwo Jima experience.
Oh, yeah, it was nothing.
And how long did you stay there, Bob?
Stayed there 2 or 3 days. They were waiting to send us on with a convoy up to back up to Guam. Mm-hmm. Yeah. A fun experience there. I had 2 or 3 boys in West Virginia. Coal mines on my ship. They're all about as dumb as they could be. One was particularly dumb. And he came up to me in Honolulu. The Lady Guff, his captain, says, I want to go ashore. I said, what do you want to go ashore for? He said, my brother's out here. I want to go see him. I said, how do you know your brother's out here? He said, well, he gets his mail the same place I do. I'm not kidding you now. And I said, well, what ship is it? He told me. And we did pick out a ship. We'll never see him.
He just picked out a ship?
No, he picked out his brother's ship. He knew his ship number was on. And he picked it, found it.
And he found it?
Yeah.
And he actually did find him then, huh?
Oh, yeah.
Well, he wasn't too dumb then, was he?
No.
I guess he was. He had something going for him.
The only thing he knew is he got the mail the same place he did. He's bound to be out there.
Yeah, he was right. Yeah.
Well.
So what were your duties after the Philippines ended? And this is getting into, what, April then?
May.
May.
We were... went to Guam first, stayed there a few days. Went to Saipan, stayed there a long time.
Incidentally, now how did you get your orders to move from place to place? What did you get them by? Teletype?
Yeah, by teletype, yeah.
Okay, and who what was the next authority above you that would be giving you the orders? Do you recall?
I don't recall.
There was some mind-sweeping admiral out there or something.
Yeah.
In charge of those activities.
I don't know how I got the first order, but one set of orders I had, I wrote the orders and signed, accept them, signed. I had my full signature on that.
But you wrote your own orders.
Yeah.
Huh?
Yeah, but that, I had verbal.
Yeah, authority.
Authority to do it. But then, and we stayed around Saipan doing most of that patrolling.
Uh-huh.
B-29s coming in.
Now, you weren't involved in the invasion of Saipan, I take it, huh?
No.
Okay. Okay, so you did spend some time up there, I think Guam and Saipan and so forth. And along about this time, of course, the war in Europe was winding down, or maybe it ended, I guess.
Yeah, yeah.
How did you hear about that?
I don't know. It was on radio, yeah.
Radio?
Yeah.
Did you ever hear Tokyo Rose?
All the time.
All the time.
A good program.
On your radio aboard your ship?
Yeah.
Did everybody look forward to hearing her? Or
well, what? I don't know about the report, but she had a good program.
Well, I mean, was entertaining, right?
And she was right a lot of times.
What did she talk about?
Oh, she would talk about the different ships that had been sunk, you know, all the people lost on it, and, you know, and soldiers were coming to the death and that kind of thing. Around the music program.
And then what kind of music did she play? American popular music,
I mean,
basically?
Yeah.
And how long was she? Was she on like all day long, or just
I don't remember what it was.
Certain periods of time.
I remember once she came out one morning and said, such ship had been hit, not sunk, but hit. And we all said it can't be. That was one night we went out on patrol. We went on patrol that ship last night. But sure enough, she was right.
Oh, she was right.
Yeah.
You've been hit since you were with her.
Yeah.
Well, I'll be.
All right.
Okay, so you heard about the war in Europe being over, and you know, and you still had a job to do. What? Any thoughts about what you were thinking when you heard that news in particular, or just say that's just another milestone here? We got to keep going.
No, that wasn't. We were scheduled for the invasion of Japan.
Uh-huh.
And that's where we were sticking around.
Yeah.
It kind of perked that up a little bit. And I knew a lot of thought about having to go to Japan.
Yeah. So even though it was victory in Europe, you knew that there was something really tough ahead of you.
For us,
possibly.
For us, it would.
Because you would have been right up there in the front sweeping the mines, right?
Exactly.
In Tokyo Harbor, Tokyo Bay.
Yeah, that's right.
So you would have had a very tough,
I knew a lot of them up there.
Tough job, if it came to that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, so let's continue on after VE Day. Then you recollect what you did. Were you still kind of patrolling? And
that's what we were doing, most of patrolling. Wasn't bad duty. We'd be in every night,
uh-huh,
up in the hills where the B-29s were taken off. Go around the island, we did some of that.
Now, was there a particular island that you primarily operated out of?
Saipan.
Saipan, at that time?
There was still some Japanese in caves around.
Uh-huh. Did you hear of anybody having any experiences with those
No.
Japs that were up there in the hills and so forth?
No, we didn't.
Did you ever see a Japanese enemy firsthand? You know, you're always on ship. Did you ever see anybody? Did you ever see the enemy face to face?
Not until we got to Japan.
After the war was
over. After the war was over.
Yeah. Okay. Let me get a couple other questions here. How about the supply system? You know, you had a lot of need for fuel. You had need for supplies, food, everything else. How did that work? You know, when you were aboard your minesweeper, particularly, how did you get your food? How did you get your supplies?
Well, every base you stopped, they had a supply
department.
We got our supplies there.
You weren't ever refueled at sea or anything?
Oh, yeah. Like that? Oh, yeah.
You were?
We had to refuel at sea, which is.
Now, who refueled you usually?
Usually it was a bigger ship or something.
Fleet Oiler or
Fleet Oiler some bigger ship that had supplies. But yeah, we had to refuel at sea a lot of times.
You did.
And that was rough.
How often did you have to refuel at sea when you were going, you know, on some of these, like from Hawaii all the way over to, when you were going up to Iwo Jima and so forth?
How often we had to?
Yeah, how, I mean, like every 2 days or?
No, it wasn't that often. It was every. I think we had to refuel once or twice between Honolulu and.
Oh, so you had pretty good
endurance
on
that. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, well, anyway, how did you think the supply system worked? Were you able to get what you needed when you needed it, basically?
Basically, we did.
Any shortages of anything in particular that you recollect? You had about everything you needed.
We'd go along by aircraft carrier, battleship or something, deliver mail sometime. We get in and go in. Ice cream.
Speaking of mail, how did you get your mail?
Another ship brought it to us.
You usually got it at sea then, or in port, either one. I guess you could get it in port too, I suppose.
You can come very often.
Yeah. Now, were these V-mail letters, did most of it, the little parchment stuff, real small and so on?
Yeah. Yeah, most of it at sea. Pass it over on line.
Yeah. How was, in your experience, the difference between the academy grads and people like yourself? Did you notice any difference in discipline, deportment, these kinds of things between the academy grads and the people who actually were civilians in uniform?
I don't know how to ask your question. Well, I seldom saw an academy grad.
Okay, so you seldom saw them, huh?
They didn't want anything to do with mine. I'm not kidding. I don't remember a single academy grad officer on any ship.
You would be in contact with any of them?
No. But I know they were a lot more formal.
Yeah, right.
You know, an academy grad would have never done what I did on it.
Yeah.
Let them take beer and sandwiches.
Right, yeah.
I mean, that
just wouldn't happen.
It wouldn't have happened.
Yeah.
And the funny thing about the beer.
How'd you get beer aboard anyway? Isn't that illegal in itself? I mean, I'm just, this is all 50 years ago, yeah. So who cares? I mean, how'd you get
it? Well, I don't know. I forgot. Well, the quartermaster got here. And I told him, I said, get some beer. We had a place up there, we stacked it up. I said, we don't have any place to lock it up. And I said, as long as nobody bothers it, we'll ration beer out so many cans a week or a day, whatever it was. And it worked fine for several months. One day we're fixing to take a long trip from Saipan. Quartermaster came up to the captain. Two cases of beer missing. I said, you know what to do? Put the rest of us on the dock. He did. The sad looking group.
Yeah, but it was a sad looking group. Yeah. They may have done a little disciplining on their own, huh? How about discipline on your, of course it was a small ship, you're like a family, like
yeah,
you said.
We've never
had trouble with anything. Nobody had anywhere to go anywhere. They just had to hang in there with their team, right?
That's right.
How about drugs, gambling, AWOL, this kind of stuff? You ever had any trouble with that? Any rowdy guys aboard your vessel?
I had one gambling episode. It was, just ordinary poker stuff. We were in Honolulu. We had an excellent cook. He hadn't been on the ship very long. And I heard he was working up on gambling.
Uh-huh.
But I didn't do anything about it. About 30 minutes before we were supposed to sail from Iwo, he came to me and said, Captain, I got a real bad back pain. I gotta go to the hospital. Well, so we didn't have any doctor board or anything else. I couldn't. It had been true. I'd been severely criticized for taking him out. No medical attention. I said, all right, get your stuff and put it on the dock. And when he got on the dock, I called him every yellow boat, coward you could think of. Didn't bother him a bit.
So he was just making it all up. What, did he go to the hospital and check in? So you know,
don't worry, I put him off the ship.
You just put him off the ship and just let him go, huh? Speaking about that, did you have a medic aboard your ship? Did you have anybody aboard your ship? Anybody that was trained at all?
Yeah, a little trained, but not a lot.
Yeah. But basically the health of your ship was good for the most part?
Oh, yeah.
Didn't really have any problems.
And
how about the food? The food, was it decent?
Excellent.
What kind of food do you usually have aboard a little minesweeper? Of course, if you went alongside these aircraft carriers enough, you did pretty well, I guess, huh?
Well, of course, we were lacking fresh foods, like the salads and stuff like that. We had chicken, steaks.
No kidding.
Yeah.
Sounds better than most I've heard.
That's another, well, that's another.
Whole other story.
I was a criminal in the war. We had an allowance, so much a day.
The ship did.
Yeah. Packing. And I told him, forget about it. We're going to eat like we want to.
You stop this.
End of tape A, side 2. The interview continues on tape B, side 1.
What about the food then?
We got chicken, steak. In fact, I had one or two complaints for having too much chicken. But anyway, when I got ready to leave the ship, my commissary account was so much in red that they could court-martial me. So it came to take over. Wouldn't take over until I signed some document on the food account.
Acknowledging that you were short?
Yeah. Never heard a thing more about it.
You never heard a thing about it?
We ate like food.
So you just simply overspent your account, right?
Yeah.
And nobody said beans about it. Amazing. What did you know about the war, progress of the war while all this was going on? Were you part of communiques and so forth that you got?
Oh, we got some, but not a lot.
Did you have any idea of the big picture, or were you just kind of following your orders for your ship?
More or less following our orders. We got some news.
Did you have, let's see, was there Armed Forces daily newspaper of some kind that I know you wouldn't get it daily, obviously.
No,
but did you, were you able to pick up?
Once in a while, you pick up something like that.
But basically, you didn't have a whole lot, other than what maybe Tokyo Rose gave you. Yeah, I guess she gave you some information.
Well, we got some radio news. We knew basically how we'd go on, but not in detail. Like,
right. Okay. Did you develop any opinion of the enemy that you were fighting as you were, you know, doing your thing? Good, bad, indifferent, or were you so far removed that you really didn't have an opinion about, you know, their capabilities, their tenacity, their, you know, their ability to wage war? Did you have any impressions of that?
Yeah, I did. We go back to the end of the war. VE Day didn't mean much. VJ Day, we were in our cabin celebrating, and 15 minutes later, I got a call to get admiralship. We got an order to go to Japan for minesweeping.
Mm-hmm.
And we went, first went to South Korea, went up the river there, swept that, and then we went to Sasebo, where we swept the mines around Sasebo, but that's where we got to.
There were some mines there?
Yeah, but not in the harbor, not in the channel at all.
They were floating out?
What happened? The Air Force had planted mines almost indiscriminately, all kinds. Most of them were set to deactivate the day before the invasion, which is why I've forgotten what day it was. Of course, that day they didn't come for a good long time. So other than the contact mines, we were trying to sweep mines that they didn't know how to sweep. And we blew up a couple, we never knew what it was.
You ever knew what kind of mine it was?
No, I knew what it was. It was in that area. But to follow up on your story, we went in Sasebo Harbor, stayed around there. We were there in two of 13, which was rough. But from where our anchorage was, I went with the Marines a couple times up into the hills. And based on what I saw in Iwo, where as close as we were to the harbor, to Iwo, I would have bet you 10 to 1 that they clean that up in a
day. You thought they'd clean it up in a day, but...
A day or two, yeah. You just didn't see anything.
Yeah, right. It's all hidden.
All hidden. But then in Japan, when we took a tour around the island and saw what they had, where the guns were placed, what kind of guns, it would have been murder. We'd have lost, they say they plan on 500,000. We lost 1 million men minimum, where they were set to defend Japan. My opinion, if they didn't give up.
Yeah, right. I know that was their badge of honor to die while they were killing you. Bob, see, you digress just a second. You were patrolling, of course, and I forgot to ask you, where were you when you heard about VJ Day?
Saipan.
On Saipan? And you had been patrolling and so forth up until that time. And what were your thoughts when you heard that? I mean, big sigh of relief, I'm sure, and
well,
big party, you said?
Sigh of relief. I got offered to go to Japan. I knew what that meant. That was our most dangerous feud during the war.
Yeah. The potential to be the worst of all.
I think several miles we were lost from the mines, but more than that, and the two hurricanes we lost, one hurricane, I think there were 18 mines we was lost or disabled.
Oh.
All
right.
Yeah. We were lucky to be in the harbor.
So VJ Day was that was a big relief then.
Huh?
Because you knew you wouldn't be taking part in the invasion then, at that point.
At that point, yeah.
But yeah, so you knew that maybe it saved your life at that point.
Well, no question.
I mean,
no question. I don't have any doubt in my mind that when people criticize Adam Baum, I think it's the best thing you'll have.
Yeah, right.
To me.
Yeah, because you would maybe not be here if you
That's right.
tried to invade Japan.
But the funny thing about it is that I had enough points to get out. And I had orders to return to the States.
Uh-huh.
The fellow who was supposed to relieve me. And I had all that in surprise, I found. He, everywhere he stopped, he tried to get his orders changed. He couldn't. Both of us had enough points to get out of service. And he followed me from August 15th to late November before he caught up with me.
And he had enough points to get out.
Yeah, and I didn't have quite enough. By the time I got to the States, I had enough. I didn't have any.
Oh, for heaven's sake. When were you actually relieved then? What this was after VJ Day, of course. And,
yeah, I was relieved in about the 1st of December.
1st of December, 45.
Up at Fukuoka.
After VJ Day, did your ship have any mission or any particular responsibilities, or were you just kind of waiting to get out?
That's when we went to Japan and did the minesweeper.
Oh, excuse me. Okay, yeah, I'm sorry. Yeah, you went to Japan, did the minesweeper. And then how long did that take?
Well, we were from August 15th. We took off August 15th. I don't know how long to get to Japan. But it was from then until November.
I see.
You were sweeping a Dodge and Hurricane as well.
Now, this time when you were minesweeping, were you finding a lot of mines?
Not a lot of them, but we found a few.
And all it takes is a few.
Yeah.
That's a big difference. Okay. One other question. Getting back to Tokyo Rose, did her propaganda that she was spewing out, did that affect you in any particular way?
No.
You just kind of ignored that part of it?
Enjoyed the program.
Just enjoyed the program, huh?
No, it didn't bother me.
Did your, you talked about the one YMF captain who had combat stress. You familiar with anybody else, maybe in your group or
Nobody in my group, but there were a lot of them.
How did it display itself? What
They just cracked up. There were several up at the Okinawa that did that.
Now these are commanding officers. Okay.
Just couldn't take it anymore.
Were they minesweepers or just
minesweepers?
Whatever.
Other types. Yeah.
Other types too.
Yeah. Yeah.
Did you get any decorations for these?
No. I'm surprised.
Even
what did I do different from a million other men over there?
I don't know. Maybe a million other guys got them. I don't know.
No.
I got
area commendations.
Well, that's kind of thing. You got area, area commendations or whatever. Everybody who served got that kind of thing.
Some of those decorations were political.
Yeah. I can believe that. Okay. Anybody who's got friends in high places.
That's right.
Okay, so then you had enough points to get out, and you were, where were you at the time that you got the word that you were able to, get out?
I was at home.
Oh, you were home. Okay.
Yeah.
So you're on leave then? Is it?
Yeah, I'm on leave.
Okay, you're on leave. Okay.
So I went on down to Norfolk.
Okay.
And they discharged me.
And what was home at that time?
One guy.
Okay, still one guy.
My mother and daddy.
Yeah, right, okay. And you weren't married then at that time. So you got news after you were relieved, came home on leave, and then went to Norfolk, and they released you.
That's right.
And from the time that you got news that you were, allowed to get out, was that just a few days?
Exactly.
And a few days later, you were actually out?
Out.
Did you take advantage of the GI Bill or anything?
No, I didn't take advantage of anything.
Did you, can you think of any other particularly memorable experiences you had, like humorous or sad or anything that you can think of that might be of interest?
Can't think of any right now.
How about some of the other well-known people you may have run across, and then you, of course, were friends with Eddie Duchin at that way back when? Did you ever see Bob Hope or any shows or shows or any of that stuff?
We would see good part of the time.
So you were not even where you could do it. Can you characterize your service, Bob? You know, what do you think of what you did? I mean, I'm sure you're proud of what you did.
Well, I think everything I did was productive. I mean, far as the Navy is concerned, convoy and minesweeping. I don't think I had anything that I could goof off on and just enjoy life. But
you were busy all the time.
I was busy most of the time.
Do you have any particularly what you might say your most memorable experience of your time in the service that you look back maybe upon as being kind of a defining moment or anything?
No. It was humorous and hindsight. That's a cutie. I got some teeth out. It's that temper. I probably get my time. But I can't. Just don't work like it. And one hurricane, a typhoon, we were in Sasebo Harbor. And we were tied up, but the wind broke all lines. And I got a fellow off on Moonbuoy, and he couldn't tie us up. The wind about 100 miles an hour. I finally got him off, but they kept saying, you're running the ship, but we got them off. And we were messing around there. Another ship had Admiral on it. Sent us a message, said, stay clear, we have a problem. I just offhand told the signal to tell them, what the hell think we were having? You sent it.
You never heard any more about it. They figured you were the wrong one to send a message like that to in your situation.
Yeah.
Okay. How did your service change your life? I mean, it had to have some effect on you and maybe what you even did the rest of your life. I don't know.
Probably did, because I was on a management training program at the U.S. Steel. The rest was going pretty good. For 18 of us. And I think all but one or two went to service. And I got out and wrote him and he said, come down, got a job for you. Well, I went back down there and talked to the personnel department. Oh yeah, we got your job. And your pay will be so-and-so, which was just a little bit more than I'd get when I left. And I knew he wanted to stay to make a big salary. I said, well, thank you. I'll see you later. But from that standpoint, it changed.
The whole direction of your career.
Yeah, the whole career. I may have stayed at Birmingham. I don't know. But then I came home and after a while got to go to Hillcrest.
And then when did you move to Eden?
46.
That was your first job with Bill Crest was in 46. And you lived here in Eden since 1946?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And you retired, Bob, as what, executive?
Executive Vice President.
Executive Vice President, Bill Crest.
1977, 22 years ago.
Oh boy, that's rolling right around, isn't it? Rolling right around. Anything else you'd like to add to this, Bob, you can think of?
No, I don't think of anything else.
I think we've covered things fairly well. Okay, well, this will conclude the interview with Robert A. Harris, and I appreciate it, Bob, very much.
Let me get a quick look at these.
Good, I'd like to see some of this stuff.